I want to speak to you this morning on the subject or the theme, halfway or all the way for God. Halfway or all the way for God. You will find my text right at the end of verse 31 of Genesis chapter 11. And it tells us they came unto Haran and dwelt there. They came unto Haran and dwelt there. These words relate to Abraham, or as he was known at this stage of his life, Abram, on his journey from Canaan, or rather on his journey from Ur in the Chaldees to Canaan, the promised land that the Lord had promised to give him. And as he journeyed from Ur of the Chaldees to Canaan, it tells us at the end of that verse, they came to Haran and dwelt there. Now we must note and we must say in introducing this message that when we speak of Abraham or Abram, we're talking about one of the greatest men of God that ever lived. He is described in the Bible as the friend of God and the father of the faithful. When you come to Hebrews chapter 11, that chapter that presents the great heroes of the faith from the Old Testament time, there is more said of Abraham than any other Old Testament character. He truly was the father of the faithful. And his life is set forth in great detail that we might note it, that we might take note of it and follow it even as an example. However, having said that Abraham was a great man of God, one of the greatest men of God that ever lived, that is not to say that he did not have his feelings. His feelings are recorded in the Bible too, and they're recorded that we might learn from them, and that we may not make the same mistakes. And when Abraham came to dwell in Haran, I put it to you, that was one of the feelings that he made in his life as he followed and as he walked with the Lord. Abraham, you see, received a call from God. As you read Genesis 11 and Genesis 12, you read that call in Genesis 12, verses 1 to 3. And as you read those verses, you may come to the conclusion that the call that he received in Genesis from the Lord to leave his homeland and to go to a land that God would show him, you may come to the conclusion that he received that call while he was at Haran. For it tells us at the end of verse 31, he was dwelling in Haran, and then you read in verse 32, his father died in Haran, and then it says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country. There's a wee word there you should note. It's the word had. Abraham did not receive this call when he was in Haran. The Lord had already said to him to get out of his country, that's the Ur of the Chaldees, and to make his way to a land that God would show him. He received that call when he was still in Mesopotamia. That's why we read Acts chapter 7. It confirms the call of the Lord came to Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, when he was in the Ur of the Chaldees, where he was born and brought up and lived his life until he was 70 or 75 years of age. That was a call to faith. The Lord said to Abraham, he was going to take him from his own land. He was going to take him on a journey to a land that he would give him, but he didn't tell him where that land was when he appeared unto him in Ur. All that Abraham had to rely on was the word of God, the word that God had given him. And so it was a call to faith, to live by faith in the word that God had given him, that he would take him to a land and give it to him and his seed after him. It was a call to separation. You read that call again in verses 1 to 3. He was to leave his country. He was to leave his kindred and his father's house. He was to separate. And I believe we're given a reason why he was to separate from his homeland and from his father's house in Joshua 24 and verse 2, because we're told that Terah and his offspring, they served other gods. They were idolaters. and idolatry, false religion had taken over in that area where Abraham lived, and the Lord was going to separate him from it and separate him from the moral evil that accompanied it. It was a call to faith in God's word. It was a call to separate from ecclesiastical or religious error and idolatry and also moral evil. And then it was a call to obedience. For the Lord said unto Abram, get thee unto a land that I will show thee. It wasn't a land of Abraham's choosing. It was to be a land of God's choosing. The Lord would show him where he was to be. The Lord was doing the leading. The Lord was doing the guiding. The Lord was doing the ruling and the directing. And all Abraham was to do was to obey the Lord. That's, in essence, what this call was. A call to faith, a call to separation, and a call to obey the Lord. I put it to you this morning, that's what the Lord has called every Christian to. If you are a believer in Christ, you're called to live by faith. The just shall live by faith. In other words, we are to live our lives by faith in the word that God has given us in this book. We are to live a life that is separated from sin. We are to abstain from all appearance of evil, whether it is ecclesiastical or religious error and evil, or whether it is moral evil. And we are to live a life in obedience to the Lord. Jesus said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. When we are saved, we are called to a life of faith, a life of separation, and a life of obedience. The question is, will you go halfway with the Lord? Or will you go all the way with the Lord? You see, as we read of Abraham's journey, there are a number of lessons that we learn that are very relevant to this theme. As he dwelt at Haran, there are a number of lessons that we should not miss out if we are going to go all the way with God. And I want you to notice, firstly, there was a great compromise on Abram's behalf. Look at verse 31, our text. It tells us they came to Haran and dwelt there. Now, the word dwelt gives the idea of permanency or semi-permanency anyway. If Abram was just going to pass through Haran, then the word that would have been used would be the word sojourn. He would have just been sojourning, intending to go on, but he dwelt at Haran. And we know from Genesis 12, the Lord didn't want Abraham in Haran. Haran was not the land the Lord was going to give him. We're told in Genesis 12 and 7, when he came into Canaan, the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. That's the land the Lord was going to give Abraham. That's the place where God wanted Abraham to be. He took him from Ur in Mesopotamia, the land of the Chaldees, and he was going to bring him on his journey, and he wanted him in Canaan. That was the promised land, but he stopped, and he dwelt at Haran. Haran was about halfway. It was to the northwest. You didn't go straight through the desert. You went north and west to Haran, which is in Syria. And then he would come south into Canaan, the land that we know today as Israel. And he dwelt. And the idea is that he settled down there in Haran. He only went halfway. And I want to ask the question, have you only gone halfway with the Lord? Or are you prepared to go all the way? Have you only gone halfway in your attendance at the Lord's house? Have you only gone halfway in your giving to the Lord's work? Have you only gone halfway in your service for the Lord? Or are you prepared to go all the way? We want to ask the question this morning. What was it at this point in Abram's life? And I stress this point because Abraham eventually, he did go all the way with the Lord. But at this point, what was it that caused him to compromise and stop off halfway? I believe if we turn to Isaiah 59, we'll note part of the answer and then we'll come back to Genesis chapter 11. Look at Isaiah Isaiah 51. And reference is made here to Abraham in verse 2. Isaiah chapter 51 in the verse 2, the prophet is saying, look unto Abraham, your father. Look to him. Look to him as an example. And unto Sarah that bare you. And then the prophet, or the Lord speaking through the prophet, he says these words, I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. He's referring, the Lord is referring to that time mentioned in Acts chapter 7 when he appeared to Abraham in Ur of the Chaldees and he called him to leave his land and to go to the land that he would show him. He said, I called him alone. Now you turn back to Genesis chapter 11 and you look at verse 31. Tells us, and Terah took Abraham his son, and Lot the son of Haran his son's son, and Sarah his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife. And you read on down and it tells us they came to Haran and dwelt there. But I want you to pay particular attention to the first phrase in verse 31. It's not Abram took, it's Terah took. And rather than Abraham taking the lead, rather than Abraham making the decision, rather than Abraham dictating the agenda, it's Terah. You should consider that the word Terah, the name Terah, means delay. And it was Terah who was taking Abraham. And it was Terah who was calling the shots, as we would say. It was Terah who was dictating the agenda, who would go on the journey they come to. He's the man that seems to be in control. When the Lord called Abraham alone, and he called him out of his father's house. For his father's house was wedded to their idols and their images. And even down to the days of Isaac and Jacob, still the descendants of Terah, the brother of Abram, the descendants of Abram, they still had their idols and their images. For you remember when Jacob, he left Laban at Padan Aram, wasn't it Rachel who brought the idols and the images of her brother? Oh, idolatry was still in the house, in the wider household. And that's why the Lord called Abraham away from it. And he called him alone. And yet Abraham is allowing his father to dictate how and who will go on this journey as Abram seeks to follow the Lord. I have to say, from a human point of view, I can understand the old man's desire to be with his son. You imagine you have three children. One dies before you. The second one comes and tells you. You're old. You're close to the end of your life. And your son comes in and tells you, Dad, the Lord of glory has appeared unto me. You don't know who the Lord of glory is. You've been worshiping and serving idols. He says, Dad, the Lord, the creator of all has appeared unto me. And I have to leave my country, I have to sell up, I have to bring all my substance. And we're to make our way to another country. Where are you going, son? I don't know. He hasn't told me that part of the message yet, Dad. But I have to go. The old man knows he'll never see his son again. The old man knows without transport, the transport that we have today, he's not just going down the road. He's going on a great distance and on a great journey, and he'll never see his son again. And it was too much for the old man to take. He says, son, I'm coming with you. And as they make their journey, and as they make their way, I just wonder, did the old man take ill? And he couldn't go any further, and they dwelt at Haran. And while humanly speaking, I can understand Terah's thought and his mind and why he wanted to be with Abram and why Abram didn't want to leave his dad behind. The problem for Abram was, it wasn't what God had called him to. And he allowed his father, whose name means delay, to delay him in doing the will of God for his life. And he allowed him to delay him going through and going all the way with the Lord at this point. I wonder today, is there someone delaying you from going through with God, your vows to pay? You're all upon the altar lay. It is possible for people close to us. It is possible for friends or loved ones. And Tira, there's nothing in the scripture that suggests Tira came to know the Lord. But it is possible for unsaved loved ones or friends or relationships to hold us back from doing the will of God. I say to you, and I say as graciously as I can, make sure there are no tears in your life. Don't allow anyone to stop you going through with God. And don't allow anyone to stop you giving of your all to Christ and His kingdom. The great compromise, he dwelt at Haran. He was held back from going all the way with the Lord because there was someone in his life who held him back. I want you to notice, secondly, this morning, in relation to this great theme, going through with God, I want you to see there was grievous consequences. Not only a great compromise, but grievous consequences. Let me say there are always consequences when God's people don't follow the Lord fully. That was illustrated in the days of Moses. Do you remember when Moses sent the spies into the promised land? They went to view the land so that they could bring back a report and the Israelites would know exactly how to go about conquering the land of Canaan. And he sent 12 spies, one from each tribe. And when the spies brought back a report, 10 of those spies, they said, "The land is full of people, and it's too difficult for us to conquer. Yes, it's a good land, it's a pleasant land, but it's too difficult for us to conquer. We'll face defeat." 2 men stood forward. One was from the tribe of Judah, the other was from the tribe of Ephraim. One was Joshua and one was Caleb. They said, "The land which we pass through is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, He will bring us into this land." And the people were ready to stone them. And they turned back and they went back into the wilderness. And it is said in scripture of Caleb and Joshua, they followed the Lord fully. They gave the Lord their all. They trusted in Him. They believed in Him. They were prepared to follow Him and go through with God into the promised land there and then. They wholly followed the Lord. But the others, may they turn back. And what was the consequence? They wandered for 40 years in the wilderness until that generation had been taken into eternity. And it was the generation to come that entered into the promised land. There are spiritual consequences when we fail to go all the way with God and lay our all upon the altar for Him. And it's brought out in the life of Abram here in this portion of Scripture. There are two consequences I want you to notice. The first one I would mention is that privileges were denied. Spiritual privileges were denied him as he dwelt in Canaan. Do you see in chapter 12 and verse 1 it says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country." When you read the corresponding passage in Acts chapter 7, it tells us the Lord appeared to him in the Ur of the Chaldees and said unto him. You have a revelation from the Lord to Abraham, a manifestation of himself and his speaking voice to Abraham there in the Ur of the Chaldees. The Lord appeared to him. The Lord gave him a visitation of grace and called him. When you look at chapter 12 and the verse 7, you see that when Abram came into the land, it says in verse 5, and into the land of Canaan they came. It tells us in verse 7, and the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. And again, the Lord appears to Abraham in the land of Canaan, the place of obedience. And he speaks to him. And Abram builds the altar and he worships the Lord. He had a visitation from the Lord when he came to the place of obedience and he heard the voice of the Lord. Now I challenge you. Read about the time in Haran. There's not much said about it either in the Old or the New Testament. But nowhere where it speaks about the dwelling in Haran, nowhere do we find, nowhere are we told that the Lord appeared, that the Lord spoke, the Lord gave a dream or a vision to Abraham. No, while he was dwelling in the halfway house, there was no revelation from God. There was no speaking voice. Abraham was denied visits of grace, visits of fellowship, visits of communion. I tell you, there is no comfort. There is no nearness to God when we only give ourselves half-heartedly to Him. There were no visits of divine grace in the halfway house. Abraham had to go all the way with God to hear His voice and meet with Him again. Privileges were denied, and it's a consequence of being half-hearted for the Lord, of being, as the Lord described in Revelation chapter 3, lukewarm for Him. He says, I'll spew you out of my wife. Privileges were denied. But I want you also to notice that when he stopped off halfway and he dwelt there, there was pain to be experienced. Look at the end of verse 32 of Genesis 11. And Terah died in Haran. We're told in Acts chapter 7 that it was when Terah died that Abraham removed himself from Haran and he came into the promised land. The Lord had to remove from Abram's life the thing that was holding him back from doing God's will and going through with God sacrificially and completely. I can think of my time in Portadown here. I can think of a missionary deputation meeting not long after I came to this church. The one who is now full-time in the Lord's service, I can remember him very clearly saying, as he told how the Lord called him to that service, the Lord had to take his job from him. He felt the Lord speaking to him many years ago, and he didn't follow through with it, going into full-time work for the Lord. And he loved his job, and he loved his employment. And it came to the point a number of years ago where the Lord took that job from him and then spoke to him again about serving the Lord. And I put it to you, sometimes the Lord has to take from our lives and out of our lives the things or even the people who would hold us back from giving of our all to Christ and His service. Is there something holding you back? Is it a job? Is it finances? Is it a relationship? I put it to you, above thine own ambitions here, another voice is sounding clear. It is the call of God to thee. Oh, leave thine all and follow thee. That doesn't mean you'll have to go forth to missionary service. It simply means a dedicating of your life to the Lord. It may be to serve Him better in a fuller, deeper way in the local church and in the local setting. It may simply be to support the work of God in a greater way with your time, with your tithe, or with your talents. But I say to you, sometimes When the Lord is working in the lives of his children, he comes to the point where he will take something that's precious to us and he'll remove it from us so that we will give our all to him. Grievous consequences and only going halfway with the Lord. My time is almost gone, but I want to draw your attention to the third and final thought this morning. We've considered a great compromise. We've considered a grievous consequences. But would you notice a gracious compliance? You'll see at the end of verse 4, the start of verse 4. So Abraham departed, or Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him. Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Abraham came to the point where he was willing to do exactly as the Lord had said and follow exactly to where he was leading to. The point that I want to stress to every child of God this morning is this, that when Abraham went all the way with the Lord, all the way to Canaan, there was wonderful blessings that he would receive. In verses 2 and 3, you have the Lord's covenant with Abraham. And there are 7 blessings that he gives to Abraham. I will make of thee a great nation. His wife was barren. The Lord said he'd make of Abram a great nation. He said, I will bless thee. He said, thirdly, I will make thy name great. He said, fourthly, thou shalt be a blessing. He said, fifthly, I will bless them that bless thee. He said, sixthly, I will curse him that curseth thee. And in the 7th place, he said, in thee, a promise in the gospel, in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. For from Abraham's seed, the Savior would come. He would die on the cross. He would offer that salvation to every tribe and tongue and nation. A 7-fold blessing going through with God. See, when you go all the way with God, the compensation that God gives you, the blessings God gives you, far outweighs the cost. What was the cost Abraham had to bear? He had to leave his land, his homeland, the place of his nativity and upbringing. He had to leave his father's house, had to leave his friends and his relations. He had to come to the land that God would show him. He had to live as a stranger and a pilgrim in it. But oh, God promised a 7-fold blessing. And I say to you, you follow the Lord with all your heart. You give him your all and you'll want for nothing. The blessing far outweighs the cost. Jesus said in the Gospels, no man hath left father or mother, brother or sister, or land for my sake in the gospel, that he shall not receive 100-fold in this life, and in the world to come, shall have eternal life. My friend, it doesn't matter what the sacrifice is. Moses gave up the throne of Egypt. I tell you, get something far better. And I tell you today, you go all the way with God. Are you going to go to Haran? Or are you going to go to Canaan with the Lord? Are you going to go halfway? Or are you going to go all the way? In the life of faith, the life of separation, and the life of obedience, will you go all the way with the Lord? Let's briefly pray, and then I want to sing just a few verses of a closing hymn. Father,